Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. Today's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Moriah, Rav David Siman, Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Beit Zadav Yudalad. We left off on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis by the words Ketzad Molel. So the Gemara, first of all, we wish a good morning, Chanachenach, Dovzi, Rav Zalman, Avi, Dr. Joe, Chaim, Eitan, Mordechai Tzvi, and Shlomo David. I'm sure we'll get Mordechai in a few seconds. Anyway, Ketzad Molel. We left off. The Gemara was discussing the laws that in Yontif you are allowed to just like roll wheat and roll the chaff off the kernel and just pop the kernel into your mouth. You're allowed to do that. And even wheat that was rolled from Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to blow them and get rid of the husk on Shabbos. So how exactly is this permissible? So the Gemara says, Ketzad Molel. How in the world are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do it the same way you do it during the week. So Abaye Mishmei de Rav Yosef Amar, Chada Achada. You're allowed to use one finger and one finger. You see like this. See this? Watch. One finger. See? Chada Achada. One finger or one finger. That's how you're allowed to do it. That's considered to be a different way. Rav Abaye Mishmei de Rav Yosef Amar, Chada Atarte. Even one finger on two fingers. One on two. Chada Atarte. Rav Amar, came with the Mishnah, once you're making a shinur from the way you do it during the week, and as long as you're not using your whole hand, afilu chada kulu, you could even go like this. You could even just use one, good morning, Donnie. You could even just do one finger with your other four fingers. That's okay, as long as you're not using your whole hand. Ketzad menapeach, how do you, if you rolled the wheat before Shabbos, now you want to remove the chaff from the seeds on Shabbos. How do you do that? How do you blow it away? So, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Amar Rav Menapeach, Mikishrei Etzba'osav Ulamala. So, you don't want to place the stuff in the palm of your hand. You want to put it like towards the top, like above your knuckles. That's where you could blow it off from. Machko Alebim Arava, they made fun of this in Eretz Yisrael. Came with the Mishani, once you're making a shinoi and you're not using two hands, I feel b'kul yadanami, you're allowed to use one entire hand. You're allowed to use one hand. You're not supposed to use two hands, but you can use one hand even with your entire strength to shake the shells away from the seeds. That works. Very good. Brand new Mishnah. So most of today's daf is going to talk about grinding spices and salt on Yontif. And let's get right into it. And then later on we're going to talk about Borer on Yontif. And we're also going to talk about sending people gifts on Yontif. So let's get into it. Says the Mishnah. So we know that certain types of Meleches Ochal Nefesh are permissible on Yontif. However, other types of Meleches Ochal Nefesh are usur. Generally, we assume milisha ve'elech, anything that's in the bread-making process from kneading and onward is permissible, but grinding is before that. So it's not, you can't just grind anything. So because of that, the Gemara seems to say, the Mishnah is going to say, that if you're grinding up salt on Yontif, or grinding up spices on Yontif, so you have to do it with a shino. You can't just grind straight. So how are you allowed to do it with a shina? Again, a lot of people, when we were growing up, we thought any malach you just do with a shina, it's okay. No. With a shina, I'll just flick on the light with my elbow, it's fine. No, you can't do that on Shabbos. You can't just flick it on even though it's a shina. You can't just flick it on even though it's a shina. Carpool. Okay, we got carpool today. So you can't do it with a shina. So the Ran says here, maybe because it's only tochin derabanan. Why is it only tochen derabanan here? Because usually tochen you do for a very long time. Listen, usually you don't grind flour every day. You're going to bake your bread today. You're going to grind it up today. No, you grind flour for like the next month. And now you have flour. You go to Gourmet Glot. You buy flour for a few weeks. So you're not going to just grind your flour every day. It's usually. So here you're grinding up just for that day. So it's only tochen derabanan in the first place. So the rabbis permitted it for yontif if you do it with a shinui. But then the Ran doesn't like that pshat, but that seems to, and he has to work it out to figure out, because it sounds like from the Yushalmi that grinding is really an issur d'oraisa. So why is it mutter just to the shinu? So the Achronim struggle with that a little bit. Anyway, here we go. Beshami omrim, tavlen nidochet b'madoch shel eitz. Spices So there's two parts. They used to grind things with the mortar and pestle, right? Which is which? The mortar is the cup thing, and the pestle is like the smasher. You have this little smasher in the middle. That's the mortar. The mortar is, so madoch is the pestle. So tavla nidoch and b'madoch shel eitz. I'm sorry, no, that's the mortar. B'madoch shel eitz. So usually they would use a stone pestle inside a stone mortar. So spices you could use in a mortar. I was right the first time. Sorry. B'madoch shel eitz. With a pestle of wood, even if the mortar is stone. So usually they would do a stone pestle with a stone mortar. But to do a shinoi, so you would use a pestle. That's the grinder. That's the baseball bat that's inside the bowl. Okay? B'madoch shel eitz. Even if it's inside a mortar of stone. V'hamelach, salt, b'pach uve'etz ha'par. And salt, you could use a pestle of stone, but the mortar was either b'pach, a type of earthenware mortar instead of stone, or be'etz ha'paror. Or you could also use like a wooden spoon to make a shinoi. So this is the way you make a shinoi by according to Beis Shammai. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no. Tavlin nidochin kedakon. Spices don't need any shinoi at all. You could do it with a stone mortar and a stone pestle. B'madoch shel evan. And with a pestle of stone and a mortar of stone, you don't need to make a shinoi. V'amelach b'madoch shel eitz, but salt needs a small amount of shinoi. But the tavlin don't need a shinoi at all. Says the Gemara. Tekulei amamias melach ba yishinoi. Both opinions Beis Shammai Beis Hillel hold that salt does require some type of shinoi. Ask the Gemara, my taima, why is salt worse than spices? Spices, Beis Hillel says, don't need a shinoi at all. You can do it the same way you do it during the week. But salt requires a shinoi. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, two possible differences. Rav Huna, Rav Chista. Chad Omar, kol hagederes kol tzrichin melach, vein kol hagederes tzrichin tavlin. All the dishes require salt, and not all the dishes require spices. So, since every dish requires salt, you should have known before Yantav that you were probably going to be using salt if you're going to cook on Yantav. You should have done Erev Yantav, but you're not sure yet before Yantav what dishes you're making, so you don't know what spices you're going to need, and therefore, spices we allow you to do on Yantav without a shinoi, according to Beis Hillel. But salt, you should have known you're going to use, so you should have done Erev Yantav. That's one opinion. V'chad amar kol ha'tavlin mefigin taman. The second min says, no, all spices lose a little bit of their sharpness if you do it from yesterday. But v'melach einu mefiga tavla. But salt doesn't lose its sharpness doing it from yesterday, so you should have done it yesterday. My benayu, what's the differences between these two reasons? Eke benayu, de yoda ma'ikadir barli mishu. Let's say you knew which dish you were doing with Erev Yantav, so you knew which spice to prepare. That's one difference. Yinami, b'morika, saffron, I believe that is. Karkum, it's a type of spice which does not lose its taste from Erev Yontif. So there, if it's saffron, even if it's not salt, you also are going to need to do a shinoi because you could have done it for Erev Yontif. Look at the top Tosis. Tosis says, Beis Hillel says, Tavlin, you have to make a shinoi. The Tema, I'm sorry, according to Beis Hillel, Tavlin do not need a shinoi. The Tema, Tosis says, the Mashma Hacha, Argo implies the Tavlin Mutalodach below shinoi. Over Meseches Shabbos, Karmian, pilpulin, peppercorns, bekasa de sakina. You got to use the back of a knife to grind them. Chada chada, one by one. Shari, tre also say. See, you do have to make a shinoi, even by peppercorns. You want to tell me the difference between peppercorns and regular spices? You know the magic karm dosef to Allah. Pilpulin arayuk and tavlin. It's the same thing. Yishlomo Tosfos gives the obvious answer. Hasamaya b'Shabbos. Yeah, that's Meseches Shabbos. This is Meseches Yontif. This is Meseches Beitza. The Teda, the Shmaita, doesn't marry the Shabbos. The Rotsalomar, So Tosis, again, there's a girsa problem here, but Tosis basically says that Shabbos requires a shiner even for salt, but Yontif is mutter without it. I'm sorry, that Shabbos requires a shiner even for other spices, but Yontif does not require a shiner. Shabbos and Yontif play by different roles, probably because of the heter ochel nefesh, so we're going to be more lenient by Yontif. No, but if it's for the purpose of food, I think we assume, like the Gemara says, every dish needs a little salt. They used to really require. I think their palates were different. It's a good point, Dr. Joe. They used to be very sensitive to eating stuff that didn't have salt. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Kol Nidochin Nidochin Kedarkan VaAfilu Melach. So now we have a different opinion. So this is going to be an opinion that disagrees with the two opinions we had before. So, kol nidochin nidochin kedarkon v'afilu melach. Even salt, you could grind in a regular way. Ask the Gemara, v'ha'amr melach bo'yishinu. But didn't we just say in the Mishnah that even Beis Hillel agrees that salt needs a shini? Ask the Gemara, hu'dama ki'aitana. Shmuel holds like the following opinion that disagrees with our Mishnah. And even salt does not require a shinoi. Deciding Rav Meir lo nechla b'sham Beis Hillel al hanidochin shenidochin kedarkan. B'sham Beis Hillel do not argue on any spice that's ground up. You can grind it up the same way on Shabbos that you do during the weekday. Umelach imahen. And salt can also be ground up in the normal way with them. Everyone agrees that if you're doing the salt together with the spices, grinding them all up together, so then you could do them normally. The question is, what about if you are just grinding salt by itself? Bishamai says you have to make a shinui with salt and only do a little bit of a time, like the amount that you do for roasting. Avalo l'kadera, but not a lot at a time. U'beisil omrim b'chol davar. Beisil says you can grind salt whichever way you want. You don't need a shinui. B'chol davar sakadadach. What, you can grind it even with something that's usher, that's mukza? Now, elayim l'chol davar. No, you can even do a lot. L'chol davar, you can grind it. So clearly here, Beisil holds that salt, even by itself, you could do it without a shinoi. You could do it a lot of the time. That's against our Mishnah. So this is going like Rav Meir's version of Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha bar Adla Lebrei. Rav Acha bar Adla said to his son, Ki daichis, when you grind salt on Yontif, normally, Atzluya Atzlei V'doch, do it a little bit on a slant. Do it with a little bit of a shinoi. Rav Sheshes Shama Kol Buchna. Rav Sheshes on Yontif heard someone grinding salt, and he was standing like on his street, and he heard somebody grinding salt. Amar, hi lav migavoy de beisayhu. This cannot be coming from my house, because in my house we don't grind salt on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, maybe it was coming from his house. V'dil matzli atzli. Maybe his wife was grinding up the salt on a little bit of a slant, so he did it in a shinoi. So maybe it was coming from his house. No, Deshamer David Sala Kali. No, he heard a very clear grinding sound. And if you're doing it on a slant, it's not as good grinding. So it wouldn't have made such a clear sound. The fact that it made such a clear sound is a raya that it was not on a slant. I have a Dilma Tavlan Havu. Maybe it was spices and not salt, and that's why it was so clear, says the Gemara. No, tavlin nabuche menabech kalayu. Spices makes a very, very loud noise, and this wasn't a loud noise, it was a more muffled sound, so he knew it was salt, but he still knew it was clear, and therefore it wasn't coming from his house. Tanabanam. Now a new story. What about grinding up wheat? Says the Gemara. Tanabanam, our rabbis, Tanabraisa, ain osin tisne. You're not allowed to. Right, I learned something recently. For the last 10 months, I've had the exact same food for breakfast every single day in the last 10 months. We eat the Quaker oats. So my father-in-law taught me that there's two kinds of Quaker oats. There's old-fashioned rolled oats, and then there's the one-minute Quaker oats, where they grind them up smaller so they cook easier. So it's great for me in the microwave. Instead of having it, you know, 2.5 minutes in the microwave, I save like 30 seconds. I have 2 minutes in the microwave. So right, it's called one minute ground oats. Like they grind it finer, so it's easier to cook. Cooks easier. Anyway, Tanabanan. Ein osin tisne. So you're not allowed to make very finely ground wheat. Finely ground wheat, that each one is divided into four little pieces, because this takes a lot of tircha, so you can't do it on yantif. Ve'ein kochin b'machteshes. And you're not allowed to grind wheat in a grinder. Says Gemara, tarte. These two statements seem to contradict each other. Why do they contradict? Because the first time it says, you're not allowed to do a big tircha. So you're not allowed to make it into small, tiny little pieces. But if you grind with a grinder that's not so much tircha, is okay. But the second half says that no. It says you're not allowed to grind in a grinder at all, even a small grinder, which doesn't have so much tircha. Says the Gemara Hachikara. I know this is what it means. Matam enos in tisne. Why are you not allowed to grind in a fine lefi? She'ain kotz and machteshes. You're not allowed to use a big grinder, even a small grinder that doesn't have so much tircha, you're also not allowed to use. Ask the Gemara, Velema, Ein Kotzen Machtesha. So why didn't it just say Stam? You're not allowed to grind in a Machteshas at all. Says the Gemara, Itani Ein Kotzen Machtesha. Wouldn't have just said that. Have a Hani Bu Machteshas Gedola. It would have just said, I would have thought only a big one, which Avol Machteshas Katana. I'm a shopper dummy. I might have thought that you're allowed to use a small grinder, even to make the small ground up wheat, which requires a lot of effort. Kamash Malan, no. Kamash Malan, that's not true. The Tana is teaching us that that's not correct. It's usur to grind in a small grinder at all. So first it says Enos and Tisne, which means you're not allowed to use a grinder at all. And the reason is because Ein Kosher B'Machteshes, which means that any kind of grinder you can't use. Ask the Gemara, is that really true? You're not allowed to grind in a small grinder. V'atani, you learned in the Braisa, Ein Kosher B'Machteshes Gedola, Aval Kosher B'Machteshes Kitana. You're not allowed to grind up in a large one. Abraisa says you are allowed to use a small one. So Abaye, because of this question, Abaye backs out of the original answer. You're right. The only grinder you're not allowed to use is a large grinder. You're not allowed to use a large grinder. But in a small grinder, since a small grinder is not the usual way to do it, so that's going to be okay. So really only a large one you can't use. And the Braisa is telling you two different halachas. Number one, to make it very, very finely ground tisne, that you can't use neither a large one or a small one. Because that's a lot of bother to make the small ones. You got to cut it up into such small pieces. That's a lot of bother. But in a case where you're not cutting it into four pieces, let's say you're just cutting it into like steel cut oats, whatever. You're just going to not make it in such small things. But let's say you can just divide it into two or three. So then it's not such a big tircha. And then you are allowed to use a small grinder because that's doing it in a different way. You're just not allowed to use a large grinder. That's the way Abaye learns it. But Rava Amar, no. Rava says, really, we stick to our original guns. And every grinder is usur. The first brisa is all one halacha. Every grinding is usur, even if it does not have a lot of tircha, and even in a small grinder, it's also usur. Ah, you asked, the second brisa sounds like a small grinder is okay. Says the Gemara Lakasha, halad v'halahu. the second brisa that permits you to grind with a small brisa. That's to the people who live in Bavel, Halan. That's the people who live in Bavel. That we do not have slaves that violate. We don't have slaves. We're not so rich. We don't have slaves that are going to do malacha on Yantif. They're going to violate the dinim. So I'm not worried that they're going to use a large grinder and say that they did it in a small grinder. But the first brisa that assers even in a small grinder is to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. They're rich, so they have slaves. And the slaves are going to be mezalzel, they're going to lie. The slaves are going to say that they did it in a small grinder even when they really did it in a large grinder. So therefore, we don't permit them to do it in a small grinder. Not only they're not allowed to do it in a large grinder, they're even not allowed to do it in a small grinder. So says Rashi. However, if you look at the Rambam has a completely different explanation of this Gemara. What's the difference between the people living in Israel and Bavel? Nothing to do with rich and poor and slaves and not slaves. The Rambam has a whole different shot. What does the Rambam say? Rambam says that the wheat in Eretz Yisrael is much more blessed and beautiful. The wheat, Eretz Chitau Seora, Gefen Uteinav Rimon. The wheat in Eretz Yisrael was much larger and healthier and stronger wheat. It was better quality wheat. And you could even grind it on Erev Yontif, and it wouldn't spoil from yesterday to today. It was very fresh and beautiful grown wheat. So you could do it on Erev Yontif. And therefore, it's also even to grind with a small grinder, because any malacha that you could have done on Erev Yontif, we're not going to permit you to do on Yontif at all. And that was the first brisa that forbade you even grinding in a small grinder. However, the grain in Bavel wasn't as good. And if you grind it from yesterday, it's going to not be as fresh. It's not going to be as nice by tomorrow. And therefore, we permitted you to grind in a small grinder on Yontif. You make a shinui, we'll let you do it on Yontif. Oh, good. Continues the Gemara. Rav Papi Ikla.
Rabbeinu Mechila, I was going to say that there's a little Daf Yomi coincidence here, because we say, O'machzir l'mach teshas v'erev Yom HaKippur. Cohen Gadol, when he's doing the
Ktoris,
the same idea,
but Machteshes. Very good, very good, Mordechai. Oh, Givaldik. Always thinking about the Daf Yomi Kutzin, Machzir Machteshes. Very good. Okay. Rav Papi Ikla Lebe Mar Shmuel. Rav Papi was invited to the house of Shmuel on Yontif. Aisele Daisa. So they brought him Kamenetsky's breakfast. They brought him crushed up cereal, crushed up wheat, or crushed up oats, whatever it was. They brought him daisa. Daisa is like the modern Hebrew word for cereal, right? So it's a hot cereal, like oats or wheat. Velo achal. He refused to eat it. I'm not eating at your house. Velo achal. Because he held. He saw that they were made out of wheat that was ground up in a grinder, and you're not allowed to grind on Yontif. And Rav Papi understood that the slaves, the servants of Shmuel, ground this up today be'isr malacha, and you're not allowed to eat it on Yontif. Asks the Gemara, v'dilma b'machteshes ketana avdua. Maybe they did it with a small grinder. You're allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, no. The Chazi to have a dayak tfei. He saw that they were very, very well ground up, and in a small grinder doesn't do such a good job. He looked at it, he saw it was very finely ground up. Must be that they used a big grinder. I vidumum es small avdua. Maybe they did it yesterday. No, the Chazi have a kolf tzahari. He saw it was very shining, it was bright, it was very fresh. So he saw that they did it from today. V'ibay seima. And the Gemara gives another answer. Shiny beimar Shmuel de'ikar pritzusa da'avdei. That the house of Shmuel was known that his servants were had a lot of pritzus. They did not take Isurim seriously, and therefore Rav Papi was choshesh. Maybe they did not prepare the cereal in the correct manner. Now, 2 points here. So just one point, interesting point. So we know. that if somebody violates a malacha on Shabbos or Yontif, you're not allowed to benefit it from that malacha that was violated. That's called Maisa Shabbos. I hate to break this to everybody, and maybe I should shut my mouth, but this is why Rav Mordechai Willig holds that you're not allowed to read Shabbos' New York Times on Shabbos morning, because this paper was produced on Friday night. First of all, the family that owns it is Jewish, and a lot of the people who did malacha to produce the Times are Jewish. So people are doing malacha to produce your newspaper on Friday night. They're violating malacha. And the Times readership knows that 30% of its readership is Jewish. So anyway, but you could ask your rabbi. I'm sure your rabbi says it's okay. But, you know, I got to, with Rabbi Willig, I got to take the good with the bad. You know, I got to take all the stuff. Not that I read the Times anyway. But anyway, so that's called Maisa Shabbos. Now, we know there's a famous machlokas. Is it only where you violate a malacha b'mezid? Or what about b'shogeg? So we know there's a machlokas tanaim. It's a Mishnah in Chulin. I don't think it's a Mishnah. It's actually Gemara in Chulin. Hamavashal b'Shabbos. Let's say somebody violates Shabbos and he cooks on Shabbos. So b'shogeg yochal. B'mezid lo yochal divi Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says b'shogeg yochal motzoi Shabbos. B'mezid lo yochal olamis. Rabbi Yochanan Sanler omer b'shogeg yochal motzoi Shabbos la'acher v'lo lo. If he violates it b'shogeg, so on motzoi Shabbos others could eat it. B'mezid lo yochal olamis, nobody could eat it. So the Ramban on this Gemara writes that our Gemara seems to be clear that we don't follow Rav Meir's opinion. Because what did Rav Meir say? Rav Meir said, b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it right away. But here in our Gemara, Minastam, these slaves, at least that's the way the Ramban understands, they didn't violate the Isser b'mezid, it was b'shogeg. So it's clear that even b'shogeg, you're not allowed to eat it right away against Rabbi Meir. However, the Ritva disagrees, and he says, no, the halacha is like Rav Meir, that if somebody violates Maisa Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat it. This is very important. Let's say you go to somebody else's house and you see that people are warming up the food in a way that's usser. Are you allowed to eat it? So according to Rav Meir, yes. B'shogeg yochal. So why did Rav Papi not eat this stuff? He was just machmir on himself. It wasn't because really the halacha is like Rav Meir, he could have eaten it, but he was machmir on himself. The Ritva also says, even this that Rabbi Meir forbids it b'mezid is only for the guy who violated himself. But for other people, it's mutter to eat it even if the guy violated b'mezid. So even if the slaves did it b'mezid, it would be mutter to Rav Papi to eat it, but he was machmir on himself. And the last point here, the Ritva asks, how could Shmuel have these evil slaves in his house? So the Ritva writes, Shmuel must have checked them out. He knew that they weren't really doing Averis. Rav Papi was Choshesh, and he could have checked it out also, but he was machmir on himself. He felt that they were going to be, they may do the halacha wrong. Okay, let's continue. Now we're going to learn a little bit about Borer. Says the Gemara. Borer is one of the 39 malachs also on Shabbos. And the Mishnah is going to discuss, how about Borer on Yontif? What could you do? Ha Borer, Kitnios B'Yontif. Let's say you're taking the bad stuff away from the beans. B'shamay omer borer ochel, choose the food for ochel and eat it right away. B'shil omer, no. Maybe you got to do that on Shabbos. But B'shil on Yontif, borer kidarko, you could take the bad stuff. You don't have to take the food. B'cheiko, and you could do it a lot at a time. Do it in your lap a lot at a time. B'kanon uvetamchoy. And you're even allowed to use a basic kli for bor avalo, betavalo lablo kvar, not with a sifter or a sieve. Gilomer af mediach v'shol. You're allowed to soak it in water, and the bad stuff flows to the top, and you can take the bad stuff away. Says the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Gamliel, about medvar mamurim. When did Beis Hillel permit you to take the bad stuff? Kisha ocham rubal apsolos. That's where there's more food, good stuff than bad stuff, so it's not such a bother to take the bad stuff. Avol psolos rubal ochel. But if there's more psolos than ochel, divrei hakol, even Beis Hillel agrees, don't touch the psolos. No talos ochel, umeniach es psolos. Ask the Gemara. Psolos mumbal ochel, mi kaman deshari. If there's more bad stuff than good stuff, shouldn't the good stuff be mukta? Shouldn't the whole thing be mukta? So the whole mixture is considered to be mukta. You can't touch anything, even the food. Says Gemara, lo tzricha. The nafish b'tircha. No. We're talking about not that there's more psolus at ochel. Really, there's more ochel than psolus, but for some reason, it's a big bother to take the psolus. Like it was very, very thin, vizuter b'shi'ura, but it's not the majority. It's smaller in the shi'ur. However, if there was more psolus than the ochel, then the whole mixture would be usser to move. Ask Rabbi Kiv Eger, Hagabe Sil said that you're allowed to take the psolus in your hand when the tircha of the ochel is more, you're allowed to take the psolus. Isn't it muktzah? Says the Rishash, no, based on Taisus later on Shabbos. Basil only says that if the ochel is merubal psolus. So since the psolus is muat, it's batel to the rove of the ochel and it's not muktzah. So you're allowed to remove the shells, even though you think they're muktzah, since it's a majority of food, so it's batel to the food and you're allowed to remove the shells. Says the Gemara. Rav Gamliel Omer, af mediach v'shola. You could wash off all the stuff and let the psolas float to the top and then take away the bad stuff. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. Kachay menhang shabbis Rav Gamliel. This is the way they used to do it. They would bring a bucket filled with lentils and also the peels and the shells. They would pour water into there and all the shells would flow to the top. And they would take the psolas. Ask the Gemara of Tanya Ipcha. Didn't we learn the opposite? That the psola stayed on the bottom and the food came on the top? Like Kasha. Ha be'afra. It depends what it was mixed up with. Dirt would stay on the bottom. Ha be'gile. However, if you had straw that was light, it wouldn't float to the top. Let's see the next Mishnah. Be'shame Omer. Now is the third topic of today's daf, and that is sending gifts to people. Says the Gemara. Now there is an usur to give. Let's say you go to a friend on Yontif. You want to bring a bottle of wine to the meal. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give a guy a gift on Yontif. So what do you got to do? You got to say it's my wine. I'm letting you drink my wine. I'm not giving you as a gift because you're not allowed to give a gift. So let's see. Is that really true? Can you give food on Yontif? Are you allowed to give food on Yontif? Something that is prepared and ready to eat the way it is, you don't need to prepare it, like salami or gefilte fish. So that you're allowed to give on Yontif. Because the guy who's getting the gift is going to eat it right away. But something that he's going to prepare and not use on Yontif, so that's like uvde d'chol. So you can't do that. Well, Beis Hillel, Mishalchin behem chay v'of. You're even allowed to give an animal, bein chay and bein shchut, even a live animal. Mishal, not on yontif. No, you're allowed to shecht it. Bein chay and shchut. Mishalchin yenos shmanim slasos kitnios. Anything you can give: wine, oil, soles, flour, kitnios, because you could use them on yontif. Avalo tavua. You can't send them grain because that's not roi to be used on Yontif because you got to grind it and you can't grind it on Yontif. Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua. Rabbi Shimon says you're even allowed to give a gift of wheat on Yontif because you could just chomp at the wheat. They used to, you could roast it and eat the kernels of wheat without grinding it. And you could use a small grinder. Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Yechiel, uvavad shelo yasenu b'shura. You can't send it with a whole group of people, three people, because then it's going to be a big deal and it looks like you're selling it. It looks like you're going to sell it in the marketplace. Tana ain't sure p'chusim yishlosha b'nei adam. So if you're sending a group of three people, it's already a big deal and people think you're going to the marketplace. That's what the Ran says. Others say that the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Ephraim that three people, it looks like a sale. Because one guy's buying, one guy's selling, and the third guy's the middleman. Bayravashi, tlasa gavri, tlasa mine mai. What about three people, each of them carrying one thing? Teku. So maybe that's okay. Rabbi Shimon, we're not sure. Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua. Kigon, chitin lasas man ludios. Right, you could use wheat to make a certain type of food that you don't have, you could do that on Yontif. Saorim, you're allowed to feed your barley to the animal on Yontif. Adashim lasses men resisin, a certain type of lentil porridge. Sounds like even something that's royal machal behem on yontif you're allowed to send to your friend. Beis Hillel disagrees in Reb Shimon about this. They hold that no, it's got to be something that's royal machal behema is not considered to be royal yontif. So this might depend on the same machlokas tanaim later on in Chaf Aleph. Are you allowed to do malacha on yontif for the sake of your animals eating? That's what it sounds like they're arguing about over here. Because the barley is animal food. So that's the shayla. Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yossi Aglia that forbids doing malacha for your animal. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, who is matir doing malacha for an animal. Okay, last little bit here. Last Mishnah. Mishalchin Kalim. What about sending clothing to somebody? Giving a gift of clothing on yontif? So Mishalchin Kalim Bein Tfurin Bein She'en Tfurin. Even if they're not ready to be, they're not sewed up, they're not ready to be worn. Whoa! You could give garments that have shatness. V'hein l'tzarach hamoed, as long as they are for the purpose of the Gemara of the Yantar. The Gemara is going to ask, what in the world do you need shatness for? Avalo sandal amasumar, but you're not allowed to use a certain shoe that had a nail in it. V'lo minal she'eno tafor, or a shoe that's not fully made, fully sewn. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, fully made. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, aflo minal lavan, v'pnei she'tzarach uman, even if it's not dyed. So, because you're going to need somebody to dye it. So it's not roy for yontif. Zaklal, kol she'neos bo b'yontif v'shalchem l'so. Anything that a person can benefit and use it for yontif, you're allowed to send, but if it needs to be fixed, so then you can't send it on yontif. Bishlama, says the Gemara, Bishlama tfurin chazul l'malbush. I understand why you can send garments that are already made, you can wear them. She'en tfurin nami chazul l'kesuye. Even if it's not fully done, you can use it to just, you know, use it to, as a cover to warm you up. Ela kilayim l'may chazul. What in the world are you going to use shatness for? V'chitem chazul l'meimach to say you could lie down on them. V'atani lo yale alecha. You're allowed to have shatness under you. Maybe a little string will end up going up on top of you. You'll put something in between it. You're not even allowed to have 10 garments in between you and the shatness, because we're afraid maybe you'll end up coming to put it on top of you. So what could you use shatness for? Ela bivilo. No, you could use it to hang it up as a curtain. Ask the Gemara, Amru ulam pnei ma amru vilo tame. Why is it mekabel tuma? Mipnei she hashamash mischamim kenegdo. Sometimes you'll take down the curtain and use it to warm up. Answer the Gemara, ela bikashin. We're talking about a type of hard cloth that you're not going to put it on your body. So you're going to use that for a vilam. A certain garment that was very hard, and they would make it in a place called Narash, even if it had kilayim, sharya. You're allowed to sin on it on Shabbos because it doesn't warm you up. Our papa, ardolyon, certain tough garment that you would wear on your feet inside your shoes, and had shadness, ein ben migibshim kilayim. It's hard. It's not like wearing it. It doesn't warm you up, so there's no shyness. We will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Tomorrow morning, same bad time, same bad station.